All right. Hall of Famer for today is Rav Eliyahu ben Rav Shlomo Zalman. Last name Kramer, better known as the Gaon of Vilna, the Vilna Gaon, or in Hebrew, Rosh Tevos, the Gra. Okay, the Gra was born in 1720, and he died in 1797. Now, in the 18th century, Vilna was such a Torah center that it was referred to as Yerushalayim Delita, the Jerusalem of Lithuania. There was so many amazing Talmidei Chachamim there. It was the Torah center for the Jews the world over. And into this community would come a small child that would tower above them all. He exhibited extraordinary genius for Vilna, right? Not for, you know, Woodmere, for Riverdale. This was extraordinary genius for Vilna. Okay, any of you have like a three-year-old brother or sister? So you're 3 years old, and your brother or sister could say the Manish Tana. You go, whoa, it's really cool. It could say the Manish Tana. At three, the Vilna Gaon knew the entire Siddur and Chumash by heart. Okay? By heart. When he was in Gan for like 3 and 4 year olds, I guess he was in that gifted Gan. You know, this is Vilna. So the Rebbe was dealing with the particularly bright kids in Gan, and he started asking questions from Chumash. Okay, we can ask our Shana Gimel and Dalet guys these questions. He was asking the Gimel and Dalet age students here in the Gan, and started saying, okay, tell me where Avram's name is written twice. So one kid yells out, Adi Akeda. Says, oh, very good. And the Vilna Gaon said, also, Eila Toldos Yitzhak ben Avraham, period. Avraham Olidit Yitzhak. Okay. Then he says, teacher says, give me a pasuk where 8 words, every single one of them ending in a mem. You all know that, right? Vilna Gaon, oh, I know. When Yaakov sent gifts to Esav, Perek Lamed Bet, he said, Izim Matayim, Teyasim Esrim, Rechelim Matayim, Ve'elim Esrim. Ah, okay. Give me a place in the Torah where there's 5 words in a row, where each of the 5 words are 2-letter words. Vilna Gaon says, I know 3. Of course. So one of them is Ve'yolad Noach, Et Shem, Et Cham, and then Ve'et Yafes. Or Ki Gamzeh Lach Ben, or in Shmos, Kiyad Al Kes Ya, you know, Milchama, so you had 5 psukim, no problem. Now, this is nothing, right? Because this is, you know, okay, every kid knows this in Gan. When the Vilna Gaon was a first grader, 6.5 years old, okay, says father taught him this shir in Lumdus that he then delivered in the big shul in Vilna, in front of all these Talmidei Chachamim. This first grader. Okay? And later, it was during the week, Shabbos, Shalosh Shudos, so the Rav of the community, Rav Avram Heschel, said to the father, Rav Shlomo Zalman, he said, it's very impressive. Kol HaKavod. And he taught your son, he knew it so well. It's very, very impressive. And he's saying, thank you very much. And then some other person said, psh, yeah, he probably just has a good memory and memorized this year, but he doesn't really know it. So Rav Avram Heschel says to young little Eliyahu, says, are you up to the challenge? He says, sure. He says, okay, go into my study, lock the door. You have an hour. I want you to prepare a shiur on this topic. An hour later, first grade Eliyahu Kramer came out and gave a shiur to all the Rabbanim in Vilna and blew them away. And at this point, they realize we're not talking about just some gifted kid, but we're talking about an Eloi that even amongst Eloyim, you had to look up to and say, wow, this kid is special. He once told his son-in-law a chiddush that he had, and he said, I first thought of this idea when I was 7. Okay. By the age of 7, the Vilna Gaon had finished Shas. Okay, raise your hand if you heard of Shas at the age of 7. Okay? At the age of 7, the Vilna Gaon had finished Shas. And then his father decided to set up a chavrusa for him with Rav Moshe Margolyos. For those who don't know who I'm talking about, when you open up a Yerushalmi, so there is no Rashi, on the inside of the page is a commentary called the Pnei Moshe. That was written by Rav Moshe Margolyos. So his father set up a chavrusa for his 7-year-old son with the author of the Pnei Moshe. Okay? And after a while, the grud dumped him because he was just, how long can I carry a chavrusa? He was like, he's slowing him down. And he felt that he can learn better on his own. And he had a dump. He said, we can still be friends, get it nicely. But this is it. He had to end the chavrusa. By the age of 8, he studied Kabbalah and sciences, including astronomy. And by 10, he had mastered all of Torah and science. Now, he primarily was learning Masechtas at this point now, 10-year-old, 11, he was like learning Masechtas from the 3 main Siddurim, from Moe, Nashim, and Ezekim. And then once Simchas Torah, at the age of 11, he remembers that he had made a neder at last Simchas Torah to learn Zvachim and Menachos. You know how like they auction off Ataris and stuff like that, and you guys like bid, oh, I'll learn this, I'll learn 3 Prakim of, Mishnah, whatever. So like he said, I'll learn Menachem and Zvachem. Menachos, Zvachem and Menachos. And here it was the next year, he said, oh, I never did it. So right after dinner, he sat down and opened up Masechet Zvachem and started learning. There was a guest in the house. And the guest tells us that, when he went to sleep, little Eliyahu, 11-year-old Eliyahu, opened up the Zvachem. And at midnight, he sort of woke up, and even though it was a guest, he went downstairs to raid the refrigerator. And he sees that the little 11-year-old kid, he's still there learning. And now he's already on Daf Nun. He's already on Daf Nun of Zachim. So he starts like asking, have you been learning straight? He goes, yeah. He starts testing him. And he's holding. Right? By the morning, he had finished Zachim, closed the Sefer, opened up Menachos. And by the afternoon, he had finished Menachos and he joined the dancing on Simchas Torah, feeling good that he fulfilled his neder of learning Zachim Menachos by Simchas Torah of the next year. He got married at the age of 18, and he went into this hut in the forest to learn so there'd be no distractions. Only his wife knew where he was. She brought him food, and he slept only 2 hours a day. I don't mean 2 hours during the day. I mean 2 hours in a 24-hour period. And even this wasn't straight. He took 4 half-hour naps, 3 of them in the evening, 1 of them during the day. Be up for 5.5 hours, take a half hour nap, another one. So 3 during the evening, 1 during the day, and this is how he existed. Sometime later, he went into a self-imposed exile. Different opinions in the historians, how long, either 5 years or possibly 8 years, coming back only on Chagim to visit his family. But otherwise, he was away. He was wandering. Why? So again, different opinions. Probably to work on his midos. Right? You go away, no one knows who you are, so it works on your anava. If everyone knows you're a big Talmud Chacham, so you respect, he went places, so he works on your anava. That's one. Other ideas that people say is maybe to learn from different Rabbanim. Right? You find this in the Gemara also, that people said, it's important for me to learn from many different rabbis. And the third idea that many people talk about is he wanted to see manuscripts. There was printed Svarim. But there were a lot of things that were still in manuscript form. So he went to all the different Batei Midrashot and all the different libraries, and he's looked at manuscripts of Rishonim, of Midrashim, things that you couldn't get your hands on. It wasn't really in print, and he just read all the manuscripts. Now, based on these, the Gra made many emendations in the text of the printed Shas. When seeing a manuscript, he, based on his photographic memory, immediately knew if any of the words were different from the printed text. And he could even explain errors that might have crept into the printed text and understand where they went wrong, how they made the mistakes. When he would see the emendation, if he would make an emendation, he would first think how this sugya would fit in with all the places it's quoted in Shas, because he knew all the places it was quoted in Shas. And would make sure he wouldn't dare do this. So he would only do it if there was a manuscript to back himself up and it fit in. But anyone he felt who just made an emendation based on conjecture, mere, well, I don't think this fits in, let's just switch it to this, he felt that was criminal And a person who would do that should actually be excommunicated, right? He would only do it if he could corroborate it with a printed, with a manuscript that he found, and only after making sure that it fit in with every other sugya in Shas. Now, the hasmada, diligence, and the bekiyas, the breadth of his learning, was overwhelming. The Gra learned 100 blot of Gemara daily. Daily. Right? You guys at the end of the year, oh, maybe if you do Megillah, 50 in a year. Okay? 100 daf a day. A day. Okay? Every chag, he took out the mesachta of that chag. And he learned that mesachta. And every Shabbos, he learned obviously what? Mesachta Shabbos and the Erevin. Every Shabbos. Shabbos and Erevin. Okay? And you're just reading the newspaper. Shabbos and Erevin. He did Chazara. Now, he made Siyum on Shas every month. Every month. He did Chazara hundreds, if not thousands of times. And he studied Kabbalah with the same intensity that he studied Torah Sanigla. He wrote in a notebook. This I once spoke about on a Thursday night. He wrote in a notebook the minutes of Bittul Torah that he had. And at the end of the year, he opened up his notebook, he added it up, and he cried over the amount of time. Over the course of an entire year, it would add up to about 3 hours of batala. We do that just in morning seder, right? 3 hours of batala in the course of a year. Once his sister, we hadn't seen in many years, came to visit. And after speaking with her for a few minutes, he then said, look, I got to go back to my learning. In Olam Haba, we have a lot of time to catch up, but now I got things to do. Reb Chaim Volozhin is known as his, you know, prize Talmud. Reb Chaim Volozhin, no slouch in his own right, at the age of 19, he complained to the Gra that he had now learned, reviewed, you know, all the Masechtot from Moed 14 times. And he still felt that he didn't know it. To which the Gra said, obviously. So he said, well, what do you want? What should I do? Should we read like 101 times? He said, no, your entire life. Your entire life. You have to keep reviewing. Your entire life. Reb Chaim Volozhin tells us that once the Gra made a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kula. What does that even mean? He learned everything that he felt he needed. Everything. The Pasa Shulchan writes that the Gra would spend as much time on one sugya that he would to finish all of Shas. You shouldn't just think that the Vilna Gaon, he was a big bucky. Yeah, he learned Shas every month, he did hundreds of chazaras, but you know, really couldn't follow an Ian Shear. The Vilna Gaon would spend, on one sugya, he could spend a month trying to figure it out. Rav Chaim Volozhin says that he once was in town, and the Vilna Gaon summoned him to his house, and he was discussing a sugya that he, you know, was working on. And when they finally came to a solution, the Vilna Gaon called to the people in the house to bring him food. And the people there explained that he hadn't eaten for 3 days. For 3 days, because he couldn't figure out pshat in this sugya. And now Baruch Hashem, he did, so he's ready to eat. But this was his Mesiras Nefesh. He had this beautiful idea. It's a very famous Mishnah, Imein Kemach Ein Torah. We usually think it means that, you know, you need flour, you need gashmias in order to have ruchnias. If you don't have, food to eat, how are you ever going to do mitzvahs? Okay. Says the Vilna Gaon, no. How do you make kemach? You have to grind up the wheat over and over and over until it becomes kemach. Because that's the only way you're going to get Torah. You have to take the sugya, you have to grind it over and over and over and chew it up and chew it up. Only then will you have Torah. Only then will you understand. He encouraged his students to master a mesachta. Okay, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we walk around, put a little earplugs in, we walk around with shiurim, and we listened to him. 250 years ago, that wasn't a possibility. And it, sometimes, it would be difficult to walk around with a sefer in your hand. So he said, you should know a mesechta. Know a mesechta. So you could always be learning. So one of his students memorized mesechet sukkah. You know, this after all, these are students of the Gra. He didn't just learn sukkah. He memorized sukkah. And he went to the Gra to be tested. Okay? He says, ready, right? You think you're ready. The Vilna Gaon says, okay, in mesechet sukkah, how many machlokot are there between Abayi and Rava? How many machlokot are there between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shma? Between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? These are the questions that he asked. I thought you knew the Masechta. My bad. He then explained to him that how each of that fit in with everything else in the Masechta. He told him, in the Sukkah, that's what you're learning? Sukkah. In the Bavli, Yerushalmi, and the Tosefta, if you add up the numbers of possible sukkot that are mentioned there that are puzzle, you will come to 85. And if you add up the number of sukkot that are mentioned there that are kosher, you'll come to 91, which obviously is sukkah without a vav, 85, and sukkah with a vav, 91. That's obviously why there's that number of cases that are mentioned. If you look at all the things, everyone who looks at the Sechet Sukkah would have obviously seen that. The Rav Chaim Volozhin was considered the Talmud Mufak of the Gra, but he only saw him a few times a year. The Gra wasn't giving shir, he was learning. So a few times a year, Rav Chaim Volozhin, he saved up his questions, and he went and he would talk and learning with his Rebbe. Now once he took with him his young son Yitzchak. This is Rav Yitzchak Volozhin. He ended up succeeding his father in the yeshiva in Volozhin, and he tells us that when the coach and buggy, when the horse was coming, entering into the city of Vilna, his father began to tremble. When he got closer to the Vilna Gaon's home, he started to sweat. It says his father physically started to shake when he was about to approach his Rebbe. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhin was asked, he had an older brother, Zalman, who died at a young age, but he was also known as like his Eloi. And they said, well, what's the difference between your brother and the Vilna Gaon? Right? Like sometimes when you're down on the bottom, you look at two great big mountains, they both just look huge. It's only when you get up there, you see that the other one's way bigger, right? So for the people down on the bottom, they said, what's the difference? He goes, okay, I'll tell you. My brother knows Shas the way the average Jew knows Ashrei. But the Vilna Gaon knows Shas backwards and forwards like the average Jew knows Ashrei. What does that mean? So I ask you, what word comes after Poseach in Ashrei? Et. What word comes before Poseach? Oh, wait, let me see. For the Vilna Gaon was right there. It was right there. I see it. That's the word right before. Okay. He was so brilliant, he didn't have time to write books. Most of what we have is written by children, students, or just notes that he jotted on the side of his sarm that then were published afterwards. He once told a student that he had thought of over 150 different perushim to one pasuk in Shir HaShirim. We have about 70 books, in the name of the Gra. About half of them are on Kabbalah. The Gra said, although he was not a Kabbalist, he felt that he understood Kabbalah so well, he wouldn't be embarrassed to share his insights with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai himself. His son said that the Gra was a bigger Talmud Chacham in Torah Sanistar than he was in Torah Sanigla. And he felt that Torah Sanistar and Torah Sanigla complement each other, like a hand in a glove, it all fits together. As stated, he felt it was important to study sciences to understand Torah. He told his student to translate Euclid's geometry into Hebrew so that people should understand it. And in the introduction, the student says that the Vilna Gaon told him, whoever is lacking in secular knowledge is lacking 100-fold in Torah knowledge. You won't really understand the Torah well if you don't understand, these secular studies. The Gra himself wrote a book on trigonometry. But he was opposed to philosophy, and although he had the utmost respect for the Rambam, he felt that his rationalistic approach was due to the Rambam's having too much of an interest in philosophy, and it kept him from the true path, which for the Gra was Kabbalah. He even studied music, because he felt that this helped understand the Shirei Halevim, and their avod in the Beis HaMikdash. And plus, without music, how could you ever really have Kavana? But more important than books on science and history and geography is that we have the Perush HaGra on almost every part of Torah Shavuktam and Torah Shabbal Peh. We've got the Gra on Chumash, and on Mishnah, and on Yerushalmi, and on Bavli, and on Tosefta, and on Mechilta, and on Sifra, and Sifri, and Midrashi Agada, and the Zohar, and Kabbalah, and Shulchan Aruch. The Chazon Ish felt, if you were making your all-time Hall of Famers, the Rabbanim that the Mesorah is due to them. He would say, you saw Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously. Everything's given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then you have Ezra. Ezra Sofer, right? Then you have Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, puts together the Mishnah. Then you have Rabbi Ashi, puts together the Gemara. Then you have the Rambam, the greatest of the Rishonim. And then you have the Gra. This is what the Chazon Ish said. It's ironic, because of his disputes with the Chassidim, with Chassidut, but while we refer to him as the Gra, his contemporaries refer to him as Rebbe Eliyahu HaChassid. Now, this is before, you know, Chassidut was, you know, people called Chassidim, but he was called the Chassid because he was just pious. He wore a talis and tefillin all day. And the minhag of wearing talis and tefillin at Mincha began with the Talmidim of the Gra. He kept chumras that are in the Gemara, even if it's not brought la'alacha, because he had so much kavod for a particular Tana or Amora that he said, well, how could I go against? This is what you feel we should do. Of course I'm going to do it. Now, it doesn't mean he did every single chumra. For example, he didn't wear tefillin rabbatam. He said, if you want to actually be machmer and be yotze, all the shittos, there's 24 different types of tefillin you'd have to wear. But he learned Musar Sfarim. He learned Menorah Tamaor. He learned Chovas Halvavos. But the highest praise was from Mesilas Yesharim. He learned Mesilas Yesharim 101 times. He said that there's not one extra word in the first 10 prakam of Mesilas Yesharim. He said that if the Ramchal was still alive, he would go by foot to learn proper Midos from him. Now, this is a couple of stories. Story that, now, in Vilna, based on the climate, it's very hard to get citrus fruits. So, what, yeah? Yeah, could be. Yes, it certainly was. But he is now talking about Mesilas Yesharim. He it was hard to get citrus fruits. One year, only one person, all of Vilna, very wealthy guy, got himself a set of Dalad Minim for Sukkos. Vilna Gaon went over to him and said, can I please borrow your Dalad Minim to be Yotze the Mitzvah? To which the person said, on one condition, I get all your schar for the Mitzvah. And the Vilna Gaon readily agreed, and his huge smile on his face when he benched Lubin Esrog. And people said to him, why are you so happy? He said, all my life I wondered if I'd ever actually done a mitzvah, you know, just l'shem shemayim. Because I always knew in the back of my mind that I'm getting schar. But now, Baruch Hashem, I'm not getting any schar. I'm so happy to finally do a mitzvah l'shem shemayim. I'm convinced he got double schar, but that's just me. So, you know, he said, that's why I just want to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Similarly, on his deathbed, he was crying. Student said, Rebbe, what are you crying about? I mean, it's not really like a suffix, what's going on here? And he said, in this world, for a few kopecks, you can buy tzitzis. And you wear tzitzis, and every second you have tzitzis on. You makayim a mitzvah. You're doing ratzon Hashem. After you die, you can't be doing it anymore. Okay? Now, Baruch Hashem, I can be doing ratzon Hashem. Just a few pennies, that's it. How could you not cry when you lose this opportunity? We are. He had a very good relationship with Rav Yaakov Krantz, known as the Dubna Magid. I don't know if anyone ever heard of him. Okay, the Dubna Magid. And he would tell the Vilna Gaon, Mishalem, and this is a weird thing. The Vilna Gaon would ask him, I want you to give me Musar. Right? Obviously, he's a little apprehensive, but he said, no, okay, fine. So once he said to him, you know what? You know, it's no big kunz to be the Gra locked away from society. Let's see you go out to the marketplace and still be the Gra. And the Gra started to cry. And he said to him, you're right, but I'm not mechuyev to do kunsim. I don't have to put myself in a situation where it will be a kunst to stay from. One of his most famous svarim is Ma'aser Rav, and these were written by students, the Minhagim of the Gra. And many communities, especially in Yerushalayim, have followed many of his Minhagim. Here in the Yeshiva, we follow some of his Minhagim. So I'll tell you just a few and see if you've heard of them. The Vilna Gaon changed the Nusach of Tefillah. Right? Now you see Siddurim Nusach HaGra. Even changing the Shmon Esrei, more than Shmon Esrei. Anyone ever see a Siddur Nusach HaGra? Okay. Or corn has. Good. My father, Damat, now Nusach HaGra. Okay. Who's ever seen this? You don't say Vishamru on Friday night before you begin the Shmon Esrei. Because it would be a Hefsek between the Bracha and starting Shmon Esrei. Anyone ever been to Shul, they skip Vishamru? Okay. Of course, again, when someone's saying a bracha out loud, let's say Chazarat Hashat, for example, you don't say bracha Baruch Shemo. That'll be a hefsek. You just say amen. Anyone ever seen a kehila where they don't say bracha Baruch Shemo? There you go. Who says bracha Baruch Shemo? I remember one summer I went to the Marisha Kolel, and I was just visiting someone, and no one said bracha Baruch Shemo except for me. And I was going, wow, what's going on here? I didn't understand what's going on here. Okay. You do tachlin on your left arm, even if you have tefillin. Doesn't matter. Anyone see that? You've seen it. Okay. Haftorah from a cloth. Okay, everyone here has seen that. Shiva's minhag. You switch around the way we read, where we stop on Rosh Chodesh, the laning. That's what we do here. Okay, different way of switching it around. We'll learn all about that in Masechet Megillah soon. Who's seen this? I do this. When you bench, instead of saying the bracha, Bonei Barachamav Yerushalayim, Amen, you just say, Bonei Yerushalayim. You skip Barachamav. You seen that? Right. Sfarim do that. Okay. Very good. Yiskadel V'Yiskadesh instead of Yiskadal V'Yiskadash. Okay. These are just many, many changes, minhagim, that communities have adopted. Chagim. In Chutz Laretz, do you guys eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres?
Yes.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Because Shmini Atzeres is Suffolk, the seventh day of Sukkot. No one would not eat in the Sukkah on the eighth day, but Hasidim started to not eat in the Sukkah on the eighth day. Hasidim felt, oh, it's like the eighth day, it's like Pechina Seretz Yisrael, all sorts of Hasidish ideas. And the Vilna Gaon was adamant, this is wrong. And therefore, he would eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, even if it was snowing. Right? You'd say, Mitzvah Potam in a sukkah? Yeah, the first 7 days. But on the eighth day. On the eighth day, to show that the Hasidim were wrong, he would sit there, bundle up, you know, and eat in the sukkah in the snow. Because you have to make a point. You have to show the Hasidim know what they're talking about. And obviously, the eighth day is the seventh day in Chutz Laretz, and you have to eat in the sukkah. Okay? On a Leila Seder, how many matzahs do you have?
Three.
Vilna Gaon says, why in the world do you have three? How is that lechem oni if you have more than you usually have? That's ridiculous. Obviously, you have two and you break one and you have one and a half, like the riff. Why in the world would anyone have three and have more matzahs on you know, lechem oni than you would on a regular Shabbos and Yantif? Okay. Now, he is known as the father of Misnagdim, and he led a battle against Hasidus, twice putting them in Cherem. He feared messianism. False messianism. This was after Shabtai Tzvi. In his lifetime, you had Jacob Frank and the Frankists, and he was fighting tooth and nail against this. He also felt Hasidut started taking Kabbalah and making it practical, practical Kabbalah. Kamiyas, you know, amulets, and the Baal Shem Tov, and using incantations. That's not what Kabbalah is supposed to be. Now, why did he fight against this? Possibly for this reason. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in one of his Sfarim that when he was learning Sefer Yetzira is attributed to Avram Avinu having written the Sefer, and if you know it, really what it means, you can make a golem and you'd be able to create people. Okay, fine. So Rav Chaim Volozhin, every time he got stuck, he would go over to his Rebbe and ask him, you know, what does it mean here? And the Vilna Gaon explained it to him. He said, wow, Rebbe, it seems as if if you wanted, you could like make a golem. He said, yeah, once when I was a kid, it was like a science project. You know, I started to make a golem, and an angel came and stopped me. And he understood from there that, you know, Kabbalah, yes, a practical Kabbalah, no. So he was opposed to Chassidus for this. He was obviously opposed to the fact that they emphasized tefillah over Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah kinega kulam, how in the world do you say tefillah is more important? And also, he's not into the idea of don't worry, be happy. He said guilt is very important. The same way that your body feels pain, it tells you something's wrong, you have to change it. So your conscience tells you, when you feel guilty, it's time to do tshuva. And just saying, don't worry about it, just be happy. He was opposed to all of these ideas, and he fought tooth and nail against Chassidut. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, he tried to meet the Vilna Gaon and try to end the battle. And the Gaon refused to meet him. Now, if you ask why, so you have two different answers. If you ask the Misnagdim, obviously, put him in Cherem, he's not going to break his own Cherem. You ask the Chassidim, oh, he was, you know, nervous about meeting him. He would see that Chassidim also know how to learn. Okay, whichever way, whatever happens, they didn't meet. Now, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as the Tzemach Tzedek, tells the Aruch HaShulchan, writes this, that thank God for the Gra. The Gra kept us in line. Said Chassidus was starting to become so revolutionary, who knows? We might have gone over the deep end. And the Vilna Gaon made sure that we had red lines. And therefore we stayed within the framework of Halacha. Okay. At one point in his life, the Gra decides to make Aliyah. He even writes this beautiful ethical will to his wife and family. Okay, you could find it online. I've read it in English. What? You've read it? You studied it?
Sure.
Okay.
Remember when you guys came to Miami, we got into that house on Indian Times?
Yeah.
Right, that's the thing. He had the whole thing on the wall.
Who did it? You have it?
No, where we diamond.
Oh, where you diamond? Okay, very nice. And one of the parts from there that I thought was cute, he like tells his wife, don't send the girls to shul. They're just going to be jealous that other people have nicer clothes than they do. They can daven at home. Whatever. He has a whole list of things, ethical will. Now, he's on his way. He's going to make Aliyah, but he turns around and comes back. Okay, all he tells us that he saw a sign from Shamayim that he should stay. And lots of ideas have been suggested to explain why. My Rebbe, Rav Kefet, he felt that maybe on his way to Eretz Yisrael, he had to go through Poland. And now he started seeing how rampant Chassidut was. He didn't realize how rampant it was. He turned around to continue fighting. He said, wow, I didn't realize, you know, what we're up against. And he came back to continue the fight. He felt that every single thing that you find in Chazal, or everything an idea, is hinted to in the Torah. Nothing is made up. Every Maamar Chazal, there's a hint. So, for example, a Talmud Chacham should have anava, but he should have a shminit shebishminit of gaiva, eighth of an eighth. All right, very nice, an eighth of an eighth. Why don't you just say a little bit? So the Gra says, look at the eighth parsha, Vayishlach, look at the eighth pasuk, and that pasuk says, katonti mikol chasidim mikol hamet. Right, Yaakov Avinu says, I'm not worthy of all the greatness Kadosh Baruch Hu said. Humility, you see it here. Okay, good. Once, there was a Pidyon Aben going on. It was Shabbos Bereishis. And someone said, oh, you know, Gra, you say you can find a hint to everything. Here it is. Find a hint to Pidyon Aben in Parshas Bereishis. He says, well, it's obvious. The first word, Bereishis. The Rashi Tevas are Ben Rishon Acher Shloshim Yom Tipadeh. Everyone knew that. You didn't know that one? I mean, oh, ask me something hard. Anyway, when the Eved Avraham, right, Chazal says Eliezer, was being sent to go and find a wife for Yitzchak, he says, but maybe she won't want to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi quotes the Midrash that says he really just wanted Yitzchak to marry his own daughter. He says, where did Chazal get that from? He goes, oh, there's two ways to say maybe in the Torah. Pen and ulai. Pen is like negative. Maybe she won't. Ulai is, you know, positive. He should have said pen, but he said ulai. But not only did he say ulai, it's written vav chaser. So how could you read it? Eli, I want Yitzhak to be part of my family. It's all right hinted to in the pasuk. That's where Chazal got it from. Famous idea, ayin tachat ayin. So we know Do we actually poke out the eye? What do we do? We give money. Oh. What letter is under ayin? Aleph, bet, gimel, dal. What letter is under ayin? Pei. What letter is under yud? What letter is under nun? Those letters spell out kesef. Ayin, tachet, ayin. It's right there. It's kesef. That's clearly where Chazal saw it. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. Right? Beginning of Parshas Vayigash. So Yehuda's ready to go and do battle against Yosef. Why? Why Yehuda more than anybody else? Says the Gra. Look at the Tamei HaMikra, the Tra. Vayigash, I love Yehuda. It's Kadma V'Azla Revi. Who got up and went? The foreson. Why? Zarkam Munach Sagol. He was going to lose his eternal resting place if he didn't bring Binyamin back. You look at the Tamei HaMikra and you explain. That explains why Yehuda Dafka more than anybody else. Rav Chaim Volozhin, these are just some. There's so many. It's a long one here that I'm not even going to go into now in Shir HaShirim. The Gra, Rav Chaim Volozhin, said that the Vilna Gaon was viewed as a throwback to an earlier generation. He's on a level of the Ramban, the Rashba. This is who he was. That's why people start calling him the Gaon. They say, they go back to the Gaonim. Right now, everyone's a Gaon. If you can read Hebrew, you're Gaon. But then, he was the Gaon. He was the Gaon. He argues on the Shulchan Aruch hundreds of times. Right? Most Achronim wouldn't have the broad shoulders to do that. He had no problem. In his Bir Agra is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah time and time again. And even though, here's the interesting thing, he was never associated with a yeshiva, but he definitely influences the entire yeshiva movement. He influences the Musar movement by giving high praise to Mesilas Yesharim. His influence is felt in halacha, even though he never wrote a halacha sefer. His careful analysis of Tanakh and grammar influenced many of the great achronim, the Malbim, Ksava Kabbalah, Nitziv, the Meshech Chachma. He never held a public position, but his influence was felt, not just in his generation, but in every succeeding generation. He's basically a superhero, right? Right? Rabbi Eliyahu ben Zalman Kramer, the Gra, or simply known as the Gaon of Vilna. All right. Shkoyach, guys. So...